The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you here, but I'm even more excited to have on our guest today. She is from Esther Rises & Co. It is Esther Rises & Lowenbein. Thank you so much for coming on, Esther. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know we're incredibly busy, especially you. I know we were talking a little bit before we hit record, you know, with the extended family and everything. So thank you for making some time for us. For those that maybe haven't found you on the socials, haven't connected with you on the trail from a real estate perspective, would love to get a little bit of background on exactly where you're from, how you got into real estate, and where you find yourself in the real estate career these days.
Okay, good question. I am a mom, and I'm actually a speech language pathologist. I was working in that field until I kind of had enough for many reasons, and I decided to take a drastic change, a drastic pivot in my life, and landed in real estate.
Wow. Tell me just a little bit, if you don't mind, what was that transition like, making it from something completely outside of the realm of real estate? You know, we've heard some others in the past make that transition. Oftentimes it moves over from like single family over to multifamily, but they kind of got their start there. But you were completely in a different corporate world and said, hey, you know what? This isn't for me. I want to go into real estate. Talk to me about that journey and how you ended up picking real estate.
As a speech language pathologist in many schools, and it just became very difficult to work with children and then come home to children, as I have a bunch of my own. So it was super draining. And I'm like, I just need that more professional environment. That was one factor. I moved from Brooklyn, New York to Rockland County, New York. Just the system of speech language pathology was much harder in Rockland. I'd have to travel a lot more. So I said, the only way I'm traveling from house to house is selling the homes and not working in them. So I started out on the residential end, actually. Another reason I just always wanted to learn more. Like, I just felt like I didn't know what's going on out there besides from my job, what I was doing, what I went to college for. I knew that, but I wanted to learn like what's actually happening in the world, what's more about finances. Like, I had no knowledge. My husband always took care of all the finances and everything. We kind of had this running joke that we were in a workshop. He would work and I would shop. And that was the extent of my financial knowledge, just swiping the credit card. I didn't know what a bill looked like. And one day I'm like, I just want to know something. Why I chose real estate. I like to network. I like to meet people. I like numbers. I like seeing properties. So I figured, why not real estate? I don't have to go back to college for it. I just have to take a, you know, salesperson's exam and go for it. So I took the test, started out as a realtor on the residential end, quickly moved to the commercial space. That's a whole nother story of why. I actually always wanted to start with the commercial space, but my broker told me that I'd need to start on the residential end, which didn't make sense, but I was happy to learn everything. And, you know, I also like seeing homes and getting to meet people on a more intimate level, helping them choose their dream home. It's pretty satisfying. So that was nice as well, but the commercial space is even better. And, you know, it's more, less of being a marriage counselor, more of like, yes, yes, no, no. Does the deal work? Do the numbers add up? More factual. And I enjoy the professional environment and the networking that comes along with it. So I landed up here.
That's fantastic. And I love hearing the backstory, taking a risk at something you had no idea and really throwing yourself at it and learning it and becoming super successful. So I would imagine, though, that your career thus far has probably not been just incredibly smooth and perfect along the way. And that's why we have you on, is to help our audience understand maybe an example in your career where you either struggled, failed, or had some challenges and how you came out of it. So what comes to mind for you today that maybe can help our audience understand?
Oh, well, I feel like this whole business is like there's a challenge every single day. That's the truth. So now I'm a realtor brokering deals. I got involved in the capital raising section. I've raised some private equity, and that I rolled into totally by accident when one of my clients had asked me to help them with capital, finding a JV partner for one of their deals. So I kind of rolled into that. And I also started investing recently, more aggressively. My husband was always involved in the real estate space, but now it's like pedal to the metal investing. And every single aspect of that, brokering, raising, and investing, there are so many challenges. Just on the brokery end, you know, I can work on a deal for months and months, and then the buyer won't come through, or just yesterday, I'm working on this $30+ million deal and waiting for the buyer to sign contract. And in a second, like, it was almost off. And we're not sure what's happening. It's like hanging by a string, but you go through this every single day, and you just have to learn that you cannot get attached to anything until it actually closes, because there are so many uncertainties. And, you know, if you're relying on yourself, it's one thing, but you're dealing with other people. People don't always come through. People aren't always honest. People aren't as transparent as we'd hope they would be. There's a lot of sharkiness and aggressiveness in this business. It is not easy at all. It's I always say, like, my husband's my in-house psychologist. I couldn't do it without him. There's a lot of times that I just have to, like, let go, pick myself up, brush myself off, and move on to the next deal. And I always tell people that you have to really love what you're doing, especially in this business, because there are so many letdowns. And if you don't love what you're doing, you're just gonna constantly be let down, and you won't be able to get up and move on to the next thing.
That's fantastic. And I think we've heard from others before that the mindset is one of the most important things in this business, that there are a lot of stumbling blocks. There are a lot of times where you're relying on other people. Maybe it's on the other side of the aisle that you're trying to buy or sell something to, or even within your own team. And that mindset focus of having that positivity and that things will work out for the right reason, whether it's on this deal or the next, is so important. And you really have to have that theory of abundance of, if not this deal, the next one. There's tons of stuff out there for me to go find and close and do, you know, whether it's for yourself, your clients, or whoever. Talk to me, though. You mentioned that it's kind of a daily struggle. What are the types of things that helped you? I know you mentioned your husband, your spouse helping you kind of talk through that mindset, but what are the things that help you when you're really struggling, whether it's with raising money, finding deals, or dealing with others in the community? What is it that helps you the most, keeping that positive mindset, keeping that mindset of abundance?
It's a great question, and it's a really tough one. First of all, I grew so much as an individual. Like, I just became so much stronger myself, which is pretty incredible. Just this journey can do that to you. You just kind of, like, mature really fast in here. The thing that I always stick to most is that if something doesn't work out, it wasn't meant to be mine. It wasn't meant to be mine to begin with. So there are other things waiting for me, and I'm ready to accept those, and, you know, with open hands and having that abundance mindset that there is something out there for me, and keep hustling and keep, you know, going after the deals. Can't just sit there, fold your arms, and wait for deal flow to come. You have to actively be out there and working a lot. And you also have to be able to put in those hours without getting anything in return. And there's a lot of, you know, things that you have to know in this business before getting into it. I'm actually proud of myself for, like, getting over their stumbles. Like, 3 years ago, I'm a totally different person. I'm just enabling myself to get up and move on to the next, and having the mindset that I do.
What do you credit yourself with over that 3-year period of helping you make that shift? Because I would imagine there's some folks listening that are probably in the same boat. They're maybe struggling with the idea. Maybe they've been in it for a little bit and they're struggling. Maybe they're not finding the right deals anymore as much as they used to. Maybe they're new and they're seeing how hard it is really to get going. What do you accredit to make helping you get to the point where you are today, where you do have that drive, you do have that positive mindset, the abundance? Were there books, podcasts, mentors, combination of all? Talk to me about what helped make that shift for you in the last 3 years.
I'm very self-determined. I think I have that. Maybe I developed ADD in my old age. I don't know. I have this self-motivation, and I like to challenge myself to, you know, get to the next goal. So I have that, you know, self-ambition that I don't know if many other people have. I don't need someone else. You know, it's interesting that you say this. I went once to interview at a brokerage that was trying to hire me. And the guy comes and shows me his office, and he's like, "You see these glass partitions and this open space? Here you're going to work, and here your colleague is going to work. You're going to be able to hear what if he's working on a $50 million deal, and that's going to motivate you to work on such a size deal or get there." I turned to him, I said, "I don't need to see someone else's success in order for me to motivate myself. I am very self-motivated. So I have that advantage, but I work hard. You know, I'm out there, I'm hustling, I'm making connections. It's an all day thing around the kids. This is what I'm doing, and I love what I'm doing. So I'm blessed to have that. I also learned a lot of knowledge in the last 3.5 years Listening to tons of podcasts whenever I have a chance. I'm listening to something. I ask questions. I read books wherever I can in between my busy life. I actually write for a magazine. I don't have so much time to read, but I can write, you know, just learning, following the greats in the business, just, you know, looking what they've done, looking at their successes and their challenges and learning from them. You know, why recreate the wheel when you can see what others have done and learn from them. So I'm as much as possible, I'm reading, listening, writing, talking to people, and just keeping my eyes and ears open to anything that's out there. And, you know, what's the latest news, the latest in the market? There's so much to know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton out there. You know, I think we're fortunate now, maybe even more than 3.5 years ago, that we do have all these outlets, whether it be podcasts, books, YouTube. I know it's incredibly huge for a lot of people. Find whatever it is that you're passionate about or that you can obtain and listen to or kind of soak in. For me, I'm a more of an audio visual person. So reading, again, I don't have a ton of time to read, but I can throw in one earpiece while I'm doing the dishes or, you know, doing some chores around the house or walking the dog or something, right? And try and soak in some of that knowledge and from the experience of others. Talk to me though, I know you got a pretty big family at home. What does the balancing act look like with the amount of hours and dedication it takes for you to get what you do done, with balancing being a mom and a wife and all those things?
It's quite the balance. So thank God all my kids are now at school. I have 8 beautiful, amazing kids. They're all in school right now. I do have a lot of help at home. So honestly, I don't touch my house. I don't even stop looking at the messes. I, you know, learn to not care as much. I kind of let go over there. I haven't cooked much in the last 10 months. And the last 10 months have been so, so busy. And I had to reprioritize everything in my life. So I used to host a lot on the weekends. I used to have more parties. I do less of that now. The weekends are only for my kids at this moment because I'm often working through the night. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I'm going to conferences, meetings, etc. So like that, the weekends are fully for my kids. And I try to delegate as much as possible wherever I can. And I'm blessed to have an amazing spouse that's super supportive and as helpful as he can be. I'm grateful for everything that I have to enable me to work.
That's awesome. Well, I think between what you've been able to accomplish, especially in the last 3.5 years with everything you have going on, making the shift, coming out of a completely different background, a completely different profession to what you are today is incredibly powerful and hopefully helpful to our audience. So I think that's as good enough a place as ever kind of to wrap up and let our audience take in some of that stuff. For those that maybe want to connect with you, learn more about how and what drives you, how they can maybe kind of copy your methods or try to learn from what you're doing, where's the best place for folks to find you and can reach out to you?
Sure. I'm happy to help anyone I can. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active over there. You can find me at Esther Rises Lowenbein. I have my website, estherrises.com. Reach out on LinkedIn or on Instagram. I'm SD Lowenbein on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, all over social media. Feel free to reach out.
Well, Esther, thank you so much for being so helpful for us and spending some time with us today. I know you got a ton going on professionally and personally. So thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. We hopefully will have you back sometime here in the near future. Thanks everyone for listening. We'll catch everyone next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast. We'll be right back.